We finish today with celebration and healing. That is the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra rehearsing the opening of Mahler's Third Symphony. They'll be closing their season with a performance of this epic, record-breaking work this Friday night at Symphony Hall. We caught up with the orchestra's founder and conductor, Benjamin Zander, this week to talk about the piece and to reflect on the close of their first season back to live in-person performances since the pandemic began. I started by asking Ben how he was feeling about the orchestra's final performance of the season.
Very excited. Last time I did it was 20 years ago. So people should take note. If I do it every 20 years, I'll be 103 when we do it the next time. In the Guinness Book of World Records, it's listed as the longest symphony ever written. But it's not only the length, it's also the size of the conception, the sheer number of players, 107 musicians on stage, some musicians off stage, two choirs. I mean, it's just an unbelievable undertaking, and it happens very rarely. Because it's so big and so complicated and so expensive, frankly.
So let's talk about that. And it feels to some extent like picking a song this momentous is symbolic for the end of this season, because this is your first season back after sort of the world as we knew it ended in February 2020. How has it been to be back this year and have audiences flocked back to you?
Right. We will have given 7 concerts in Symphony Hall, all of them very well attended and wildly reacted to, just an amazingly beautiful reaction of the audience. The excitement in the hall, you know, you have to have a terrible experience in order to appreciate what you had before. And we're all experiencing that now. The miracle of listening after the pandemic is that nobody coughs in the concerts. You don't hear a single cough because everybody's masked and they're so conscious of coughing. That means we're listening to music in silence for the first time in our lifetime.
Do you notice that from the stage?
Absolutely. And in fact, in the first concert, I noticed the most striking thing was nobody even talked in the in intervals between the movements. It was complete silence. And that is a magical thing. If you get 1,500 or 2,000 people in a hall, all of them completely silent and listening with absolute attention. Of course, the acoustics in that hall, people don't realize the acoustics of Symphony Hall are the most perfect acoustics of any hall in the world. And so you can hear the softest sounds, I mean, the most preciously soft sound, and also the grandest, biggest sounds that you've ever heard in your life. So it's completely thrilling. And the players are electrified by this experience. They love this music with a passion, every one of them.
Is there anything that you would keep or want to keep from the adaptations made during the pandemic? I hear the joy of being back.
Right.
And even the post-pandemic difference that you're welcoming. Yeah. But is there anything from those 2 years
actually,
you would
keep? Actually, there are several things. One thing that I did with my youth orchestra, because the Boston Philharmonic, we closed down. We couldn't give concerts. But with the youth orchestra, something very wonderful happened, which is we couldn't play, but I turned them all into conductors. So we taught them each week at the same time as the usual rehearsal, taught them all the elements of conducting, of leadership, of score reading, of being aware of other instruments. And when we came back to play in person, there was a new level of awareness, which I had never experienced before, because usually players in an orchestra will think about their own part, their own connection with their section. But now they're listening to the whole, listening to the flute, listening to the trombone, listening to all the other instruments. And there's a new awareness, a new sense of responsibility for the whole, which is very exciting.
So I am excited to get into the performance of Mahler and talk about those musical clips. You mentioned the youth orchestra, so I do want to take a moment there. And I want to talk to you about some challenges there over the last few years around David St. George, a former advisor for the Boston Philharmonic Youth Orchestra, who pleaded guilty possession of child pornography last week. So this is a legacy from 2018. He left then. Benjamin Vickers resigned from the organization at that time, too, after some concerns over inappropriate emails. We are 4 years on now. You're talking about that youth symphony and how you guided them through the pandemic and kept them connected with the music. Right. How did you rebuild trust with parents over that time? And with the St. George plea last week, are you in a moment where you're closing a book? And how are you closing that book to ensure the health of that program and the kids going forward?
The book was closed 3.5 years ago. I mean, he was very involved. He was a wonderful supporter and a tremendous colleague. But since he was arrested 3.5 years ago, I haven't had any contact with him. We haven't seen him. His name is never mentioned. So it literally disappeared. And I don't think anybody noticed the most recent thing. So it's in the past, the whole thing. And what I focus on in every rehearsal, at every moment of every rehearsal, is not only the music, but on building leaders, on focusing on always finding a possibility path for them through the assignments I give them each week, through the interchange about music, through the white sheets which I put on the stand. So we're in a tremendous growth period with all these young people, and we're going on tour to Greece. We were going to go to Russia. That would have been a very different experience, but that was cancelled. Now we're focused totally on giving our final concert, which is on May 6th, which is a beautiful thing. It's linked to the original idea of going to Russia, since the music is Russian, but it's all the money from the tickets is going directly to help children in Ukraine.
And this is the Youth Orchestra's May 6th concert.
Right, May 6th in Symphony Hall.
And what pieces will
and
you be playing there?
And we're playing the Shostakovich Festive Overture, which he wrote immediately after Stalin's death, so we know that he was celebrating that. And then the
it's kind of an interesting irony there, isn't it?
Yes, very much so. And then Prokofiev's third piano concerto with Alexander Kosanchu, who's from Georgia and passionately against Putin. I mean, he gave a very beautiful speech to the youth orchestra. I mean, people were just riveted by him. And he's playing the third piano concerto of Prokofiev, who incidentally was born in Ukraine.
Okay. Long, involved, complex piece. You've got a conductor's book in front of me, and the pages are incredible. I mean, original print of all the different musical voices and then your notes. It's a complex piece. The sixth movement is also a meditation on love. Can you talk a little more about that?
This is the very first rehearsal on this movement, and I could feel a sense of peace, of calm, of resolution in the players as they played it for the first time. All their anxiety and tension and fear, all of them masked, all of them still living under the cloud, but playing this heavenly music and being taken to a place that actually we can't reach any other way than through great music. And it was I got a letter at the end of this rehearsal. It was a very short note, you know, because I put out a white sheet on the stand of every musician at every rehearsal, so they can write about anything, they can comment about something in the music or something. And she wrote, at the end of this very rehearsal, she says, 5 years ago today, I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer at age 37. Mm. Thank you for this incredible opportunity to celebrate life, health, and love. What Mahler does is he starts with the description of the earth. The first movement, which lasts 35 minutes, is
mind-blowing.
Is a huge battle for life against the forces of inertia and death. And these two forces meet together in a tremendous battle. And then there's a triumphant march where summer, because it's a battle between winter and summer, where summer is triumphant. And then it goes from there up the chain of being. Second movement is about what the plants and flowers say. Then the next movement is what animals playful, rambunctious animals, and then man himself in a beautiful alto solo with a soloist woman, and then what the angels say, and that's when we bring in the boys and the women.
The choirs.
The choir, the two choirs.
And you will have two live choirs at that performance.
Two live choirs, and then finally in the sixth movement, love itself, which is this awe-inspiring, just deep expression of joy, but also of the struggle and suffering.
So we're playing a little bit more here because you flagged this part of
yes.
it as being really emotional. This is
where the flute and the oboe and the clarinet are playing together like one new instrument. Listen to that sound of those three instruments playing. And it builds and builds up to a great climax of warm intensity.
There's this last bit of music that you brought in with you today that you really wanted us
yes.
to play as we were closing. Well, so I'm going to play a little bit of that now.
It's just before the end, and it builds to an unimaginable pitch of exalted affirmation that is irresistible. It's as if Mahler's looking out over all of creation, an anthem for the world. Imagine if this could be heard by everybody in the world, a healing place.
That was Boston Philharmonic Orchestra founder and conductor Benjamin Zander. The orchestra will close out its season with a performance of Mahler's Third Symphony Friday at Symphony Hall. You can find more information and a link to a lecture about the composition from Zander at our website, radioboston.org. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Chris Siderick, Amanda Beeland, and Sydney Bowles, with Walter Wuthman, Francisca Monahan, and Sarah Leeson. We had help today from Amy Moon. Marquise Neal is our technical director, Karen Schiffman, our interim executive producer. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for joining us today. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.